Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's in that other box. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
A lot of things happened last week.
A lot of things.
And things keep happening today, and there's a lot to go over. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited.
There's a lot to go over, but I'm also excited to talk in depth about some of the things we're going to be talking about today. I'm very excited about this. Plus, the what we've been playing, oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
The adventures in gaming. Let me tell you, we have been gaming.
There's
been some gaming happening.
I got some updates on that one.
Indeed. Indeed. For those of you that are new here, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, we pick some news that we want to talk about, and we talk about it, and you listen about it. And then if you want to be a part of the show, you could watch it live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And you could ask us questions. And you could submit us news stories. And you can interact with the show live each and every time we record it. Most of the time, it's going to be on Mondays. It used to be on Sundays. But the show also posts as an audio format. As soon as we're done, I edit it real quick and I post it up. So that's also going to go up on Mondays. And then the YouTube version will go up on Tuesday night. We have to wait 24 hours. So the video on demand of that will go up 24 hours after the recording of this. And if you like us, but you want to hear us talk and interview indie developers, voice actors, and other people, check out the Dual Screens podcast that posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice on this very same channel. Steven, you don't have to go anywhere else. Yes.
Steven, our next guest.
Yes. Our next guest is huge.
So guys, this is a big one.
This is a big one.
We're finally breaking that indie barrier we've had for the last 3 years. We're breaking into some AAA development stuff.
Triple A, folks.
Say who yet, but it's a pretty big name, pretty big company, in the news a lot lately. It's a first-party studio. I'll tell you that much. That's all I'm going to say.
Some of our closest, our VIPs, already know.
Yes. Okay.
Some of them already know. But it's not carved in stone yet. We're still waiting to confirm the time.
It is sometime this week we're recording, so it will likely be this Thursday's episode.
It's very, very likely.
So please be excited.
So yeah, and if you want to support us on Patreon, if you want to become one of them VIPs, you head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So thank you so much for everything that you do for us. And remember, $1 gets you a bonus episode every month. You get to vote the topic of that episode and you get invited to our VIP Discord where you could chat with us and each other and our indie dev guests all day long, baby. All right. Andy?
Yes?
It is time.
Here we go. Talk to me.
For everybody's favorite future t-shirt.
It is.
The Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy, what you been playing?
So, Ghost of Tsushima. Yes. I just finished Act 2. And
okay.
I am now further broken than before.
Uh-huh.
I thought Act 1 ended on a pretty sad, emotional note, but then Act 2 was like, no, you thought that was sad? Fuck you. This is worse. So I took a break from that because it was getting a little heavy. Way too heavy. A lot of Fall Guys this weekend. I suck at it tremendously, but I love it every second of it. And I played some of the Marvel Avengers beta, which I want to say, it looks and plays way better than anything I've seen marketing-wise.
Yeah, so I want to ask you a lot about that.
Can
we open the floor for questions?
Yes, we can. Please, go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So I watched a lot of streamers play it, and I'm impressed with the flow. I'm impressed with the action. I'm impressed with the animations. I'm impressed with the particle effects, the most of the graphics. I'm impressed with a lot of that stuff. The presentation, I'm impressed with. What concerned me was the way that they structure the multiplayer stuff that you do with friends looks a little bit, I guess the word I'm looking for is disjointed. It looks like it doesn't have any sort of flow. And what I'm worried about happening to me playing this game is, I'm worried about if I take a day off or 2 days off, do I miss out on like the, oh, you need to do, you need to do 32 of these missions to collect 52 of the particles, and then you combine the particles at the end of the week, and then you get the Bone Saber of Zumacalus. Like that's the
like,
kind of shit.
Like daily shit.
Like you have to do every daily thing so that you can unlock the weekly thing.
Log in every day, get your rewards, shit like that.
You know what I mean? Like not even just the rewards, but like I don't want there to be something that I have to do in order to
You think you might miss something. They don't play every single day, essentially.
Yeah, but also like if we have a squad together and I'm like, all right, I want to take a break from this game, but the rest of the squad doesn't. They start getting items that are more powerful. They start unlocking, you know, further things down. I mean, skill tree stuff I don't really care about, like character progression. But if they tie character progression to the loot that you're dropping, and then the more, and obviously you have to play, grind to get that crazy loot. Like, that's the thing that turned me off with Destiny. And that's the thing that lost me with Destiny that I don't lose with Diablo. Because Diablo, it's whenever you feel like playing, you could always unlock the high tier shit. Mm-hmm. There's always like you could drop it. You can grind it. You could drop it. Sure, you get multipliers the more you play, but you will always drop something. You'll always be there and dropping. You'll be like, oh, check out my character. Oh, you want to play together? Sure, let's play together. And then you'll drop other loot. Whereas in Destiny, it was like, everyone's going to drop the same bullshit. Everyone's going to drop the same thing. But if you have to do this raid, because this raid has this one item that makes everybody's power light level higher so that you can do more shit later. Like, that kind of stuff I just don't like.
And there's definitely some shades of Destiny in this game's presentation and the structure. I was like, even with the way the reticule looks when you're picking menus, it looks very much like Destiny.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it because Destiny at least works.
For sure. Yeah, of course.
You know, Destiny for the most part works, so I'm not really too worried about that. Right.
But it is very clearly a beta. Mm-hmm. It needs polish.
Which is concerning because the game comes out in less than a month.
Things feel a little clunky combat-wise at times. The way the actual contact registers, it feels a little bit rough to me.
Okay.
Everyone smacks like the Hulk does. Everything's like heavy and just there's too much weight on it, if that makes any sense to you.
Sure. I mean, from what I was looking at, it looked like the characters that shoot, it looks kind of wonky. Like it looks like just not really at all tight.
Right.
But the action, the hand-to-hand combat looks very, it looks like it flows really nicely. Right. And everybody kind of plays nice together. The costumes, it looks like they're going to do a really good job with the costumes. Because I saw like a Hulk in a suit with like a derby on.
Dude, I saw like a gray Hulk with a chain, a wife beater, and a backwards cap.
Yeah, like it. I think they might do a pretty cool job with all the costumes. And as we know, there's more exclusive shit. And it turns out it may just be Square that's causing all these exclusive problems. Because, good lord, there's exclusive content if you buy 5 gum. There's exclusive content if you're a Verizon customer.
Chew 5 gum.
They gave away 10,000 copies of the game to Verizon customers.
They're really pushing this thing. The marketing is strong with this one.
It's a game of service, man. That's what it is. And that's what it's gonna be, and that's fine. I hope that they don't give up on it. I hope that they continue to improve it. I don't think Square, aside from the Final Fantasy MMOs, I don't think they do this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited to see what this game does in its first 6 months to a year. I'm still not 100% convinced this is a game that is going to hold my attention for long periods of time.
Yeah, like I said, the marketing and the trailers released so far did not do the game any justice. I felt like it was just night and day with how it looked, how it played. And again, like I said, it does feel like a beta, but between now and, what is it, a month away from release? Not even?
Yeah.
3 weeks. I hope it's just an early beta because it needs work. Particle effects wise, control wise. When things get nuts, it gets really insane on screen. How you can't see where things are sometimes.
It kind of reminded me of Anthem.
Right.
Anthem, people really liked the gameplay of, but it looked very chaotic. It looked like it didn't have a focus. But I think they eventually fixed that. I mean, I don't know. Anthem has just been fucked up.
What are you playing lately? Talk to me.
I've been playing Fall Guys.
Oh yeah, of course you are.
If I could get in. Server issues galore, and there's a reason for that, which we're going to talk about in an indie news update. But Fall Guys is really good, but what they present you with is great, like mm-hmm. really really great. Mm-hmm. But I'm disappointed in the server issues, yes, but I'm mostly disappointed in the fact that there's only 24 games.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that the target was going to be 30. I feel like they could have done way more as far as variety goes with even the concepts of the games they do have. I feel like they could have done more with one of them. A simple idea, like you remember Slime Climb?
Right. Yeah.
That's the one where you know you're going up and
they're in the room and the slime is slowly
right. A simple idea would be to reverse that and get rid of the slime, you know, moving mechanic, but have them just go start from top to bottom, going through the obstacle course that way, where everything's like slick. Mm-hmm. That would have been, you know what I mean? Just like just slight variations on the shit that they
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
Just to change things up a little bit, because right. as you're playing, you will see the same games over and over and over and over and over again. Which they're still fun. They're right. varied because of the player base. The players make it interesting. The trolling is hilarious. Like, getting trolled and trolling other people doesn't feel like bad. It feels hilarious. Like, even if you're the one being trolled, I still can't help but laugh and be like, you motherfucker.
What are your thoughts on the team games?
I love the team games.
Right?
I love the team games. I love every game I play except for the memory match game. I love every one of them.
Oh, but you can do a nice little cheat with that with your friends, though. You each stand on a fruit tile.
Yes, absolutely. The problem is my short-term memory is awful.
Right.
So I just follow the crowd and hope they're right.
I'm on the banana. It's like, there's a banana on the screen. Shit, where the fuck's the banana? It's not on me.
No, I'm like, okay, I'm banana. And then I'll be like, grape, strawberry. And then I'll be like, okay, don't remember which way anything was. So what I do now, I've found the key to victory on the memory game. The key to victory is go to the most crowded,
uh-huh.
get in the middle, grab somebody, and drag them to the edge. Push them off. Because usually the memory game just has 1 to 3 eliminations,
oh
and it's
my
over.
God. Yeah.
So just get in there in the most packed, grab somebody, and shove them off the edge. Because if they don't fight back, they will fall off.
But I see your point, though. I feel like the game does need more mini games. Because I was playing for a good 6 hours on Friday night.
Yeah.
And it was, I think I played... I didn't play all the games, but a lot of repeats. It's like, yeah. Well, I've already done this like 4 times already. Let me see some new shit. I know they're there. The games I played are in there. Let me play them. It's rough.
Yeah, that's for me, that's like the number one.
You know,
my number one complaint is just give me some more games.
At the very least, our indie game news updates will light a fire under them to really push.
Are set.
Yeah,
they are definitely going to hire people, level designers. They're definitely going to be there because the indie news. Well, that's not the only game I was playing this week. So let me just finish with that. Sure. I've been playing Rogue Company a lot. That is also in its beta access. That only has 2 game modes available right now to play. I'm really enjoying it and I'm really good at it. Like, I'm not like God tier, but like I'm serviceable where I'm not like the weak link on my team. Today I had 25 and up kill matches multiple times. I'm having a blast with that game, and I really hope that they push this game and innovate on its game modes and give us a lot of different options to play. Now that could also fragment player base, but you could rotate them to two different game types. And rotate them. But I'm having a blast with that. I kind of stepped away from Apex this week. I really only played one day. I played on Thursday. So I don't have much to talk about. Season 6 is on its way. So a minute of Apex will return with Season 6.
next week.
for sure. New character. I've also been playing Ghosts. I'm still in Act 1. I'm doing a lot of the side stuff.
You got to do it. You got to get through it.
Did you find out what I was talking about the funny missions? Like some of the funnier stuff that you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like
I just did.
I met the local like sake distillery that guy's hilarious.
Yeah, I just did a mission with him that was really funny, where you had to hide in a barrel, which was pretty funny. that game is really good, and I'm thinking it's gonna get overlooked at the Game of the Year discussions because of Last of Us and then Cyberpunk. I think it's just going to get lost in the shuffle.
There's just so many great games that came out this year, and
yeah,
it's like, here's one more great one. Like, fuck, yeah. we don't deserve this.
Exactly. This week, I'm going to jump into Grounded finally. I wasn't able to get into it this week or last week, but this week I'm going to get into that. So I'll have some news for that.
They got a rough preview / review score from IGN today, or was it over the weekend?
I'm not sure. I mean, from what I know, people who are playing it with friends are having a great time. People mm-hmm. who are not.
Right.
That is what I'm hearing from that.
But it's, you know, it's an early access game, essentially.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Are we doing the indie game news update? Because I'm very excited about this one.
Yes. So let's talk about the indie news update, because holy shit, Fall Guys is a huge success.
Steven,
as you know,
let it be known.
Yes.
Our listeners all and those who are developers out there, if you're on our show, if we interview you,
yep,
that's the dual screens touch right there.
Right. Do you want to hear some bullshit?
Tell me some bullshit, Steven.
Everybody is just praising IGN for interviewing the Fall Guys dev, our friend, Joe Walsh. Praising, because he went on their podcast.
Okay.
Nobody knows he was on our
show. He was on our podcast like months ago.
First, motherfuckers.
He was on our show right after PAX East.
And we were quote, he quoted, say it was the best one he has ever been on. Period.
Well,
full stop.
Well. See, we're ahead of the trend, Steven. We know.
We're always ahead of the
we
trend.
We know the magic. We know.
I just accidentally opened up Adobe, so
I'm sure
we'll
you
see
did.
What happens. Let's see what happens right now. This might shut the whole
computer. While you're shutting that down, let's go over some jelly bean stats here.
Give me some beans.
2 million copies sold on Steam. 2 million copies. 23 million hours watched on Twitch. 60 uh-huh. million Fall and Fall Guys. I'm probably a third of those. And 1.5 million crowns grabbed in a couple of days.
Yeah. So I want to touch back on something in the comments here. Buzz Killington says that early access games should not get a review score. I disagree. If you're charging money for it to normal people, it should 100% get a review score.
Correct.
That if it was a free beta or early access for everyone, different story. But if you're charging money for it, people deserve to know what the state of the game is. And a lot of outlets, a lot of people rely on outlets for that. So that's just wrong, and you're wrong, and you should go hide in a corner, Buzz Killington.
Correct.
The biggest thing to me, the biggest surprise to me, is that PlayStation Plus has, I think the last number they gave was something like 12 million users, maybe more. I don't know. It might have been way more than that. I could be, whatever. Anyway. A lot of people are playing on PlayStation, and it still sold 2 million copies on Steam. And I have a feeling that they didn't do an aggressive streamer campaign, as far as I know.
No.
Like, as far as what I understand, this was an organic Twitch thing. Their Twitter has been phenomenal. Our friends of the show, Brooke Lan, did a Fall Guys tournament yesterday and teamed up with the Kinda NYC people to do commentary for it. Mm-hmm. And they did a tournament, and when they got to the finals, the Fall Guys Twitch rated them. They tweeted the thing. They had like 350 people watching the tournament, organically. It's just an incredible success. And the shame of this is that it broke everything.
Right. It's like, how could you not know this game was going to catch fire? It's look at it. It's the most adorable thing. It's in the time where everyone's at home, locked in, wanting a new multiplayer game. This is like the ultimate fast-paced, quick-fire action game. And it's just, you mm-hmm. play with your friends, and it's just, you can lose at it, you can suck at it, much like I do.
Right.
But every single time,
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a blast to play. It's a blast to play with friends. I wish you can get into a bigger bean party. Mm-hmm. I think
four is the max. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I it's obviously four because you don't want to like gang up and
right. rig the game in your
bully
favor,
everybody.
Basically.
Yeah, but you could just not team everybody up. Like on team games, you could split everybody up. Like make it a max of four. You know, on a team, but whatever. It was a shame because you know on PlayStation it was really hard to find a game. They had to seriously add a lot of server space, and it's great that they did. So they had, I was watching their live tweets and they were like, hey, servers are down for maintenance. We're adding capacity. And then they were like, we tried to sneakily open up servers and 100,000 of you tried to enter at once. The second it was open and it crashed the servers again. 100,000 people were just spamming. 100,000 people were just spamming, hoping that the servers would open. And dude, they had, the second time they did, 160,000 people flooded the servers.
Do you know that's the reason why I bought Marvel Avengers, the beta? Because I wanted to kill some time between for the servers to come back online for Fall Guys.
I don't doubt that. Because like that, I was doing Rogue Company instead. Like that's exactly what I was doing. Going back to our chat, Aaron Guard says, Grounded is on Game Pass. Do you consider that charging money? I do and don't. Yes, you need to pay for Game Pass, which if it's a if Grounded, if it was a Microsoft ecosystem where they were like only Xbox, whatever, Microsoft, whatever players, this is, you know, closed in our little in the Game Pass ecosystem, different story. But you can do this outside of Game Pass, right? You can buy that outside of Game Pass. If I'm not mistaken,
you can
pay the, what is it, $30? I don't remember how much.
Right,
it is.
But the point is, you can still buy the game on a PC. And folks who are going to make that decision should know if it's worth right now to spend that money.
Right, right. I got it on Game Pass on PC. That's how I downloaded it. But I'm pretty sure people without Game Pass could still get in on the beta. I could be wrong. If I am wrong on that, different story. Maybe you could be a little bit more lenient with that. But I guess you are still charging whatever it is, $12, $10 to get into to Game Pass. But that's a good point, Aaron Guard. I don't know the logistics of how that work. Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's get into the dual screens report.
Get into the news, boy. You got to prove. Oh, this is a good one.
So this was a leak.
You're going in hot.
Oh, I'm going in hot. This was a leak, a leaked image of the new Xbox controller. It is a white controller. And supposedly this was from a looted Best Buy,
mm-hmm.
which means this is actually in stores, but not on the street date has not been reached yet. But the back of the box denotes two Xbox Series consoles, the X and then / the S. So this all but confirms something that we still have not gotten official word from Microsoft about, that yes, there is most certainly a lesser powered console, and it is 100% being called the Xbox Series X.
This is the worst
so
kept secret
for
ever.
Those of you, worst kept secret, but for those of you keeping score, we have the Xbox One X, the Xbox One S, the Xbox Series X, and the Xbox Series S. For those of you also keeping score, yes, this now has given Microsoft the lead in the most confusing Xbox console naming market.
Hey, look at that.
Of all time.
That's a W, so, right?
That's a W. That's a big time W. They did it.
I love how this came from stolen goods, this bit of news. And I'm wondering if there's a Series X in this person's house somewhere. Because you got the controller. Come on, man. There got to be a console in there somewhere hanging around nearby. There's got to be.
I don't know. I don't know. The controller looks kind of cool. It's like a little bit more. It looks like a little bit more compact. Mm-hmm, I don't know if that's just maybe the picture quality, but it looks kind of cute.
It looks comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks a little bit thicker. But smaller, if that makes sense.
I would say at this point, just announce it, Microsoft. What are you waiting for? At this point, it's all but confirmed. It's undeniable at this point. Just do a thing, own it, and do that in a price announcement. For fuck's sake, give us a price already. Someone give us a price tag. We're going to mid-August now.
I think I think people are absolutely 100% drunk if they think that Xbox is coming out with a $200 console.
No, that's...
You're drunk.
No.
You're drunk.
I don't know where that comes from. I think you're drunk. People trying to will it into existence, it ain't going to happen. I understand
that. I could see 300.
Sure.
You're not going to release a series console, no matter how less powerful it is. You're not going to release it cheaper than a launch Switch.
No.
It's not going to happen.
I love how people say that they have the deep pockets to take a loss. That's a substantial loss, by the way. But when they launched the One X, the luxury Xbox One, that was $500. They could have priced that down to be competitive with Sony and the PS4 Slim.
Yeah, that logic doesn't
make sense. It chose not to, so I don't get it. I really don't get it. Because you can't equate Microsoft's pocketbooks to what money the Xbox division makes. Because Game Pass, as we know, is not profitable for them yet.
Right.
So I don't see how they're doubling down. This will generate more loss for this division just to sell more units. When that's not even their primary platform is selling a console, which you're trying to sell the Game Pass service now. That's what they're pushing. So I don't get this whole pricing this super cheap. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We'll see. All right, Andy, let's hit us up with the next bit of news here, which is going to be a little discussion. State of Play just happened last week. I believe it was Thursday.
Yes, August 6th. I had the luxury of watching this partially in the doctor's office,
which
was fun for me. And I was stunned by one main thing, and that's during the live chat, how people just don't read.
Reading is very difficult.
People were expecting something on the PS5 announcement, anything. They were like, where are the PS5 games? Where's the price? Where's the this? Where's the pre-order date? And I'm like, oh my God, like you really can't be transparent enough, it seems. Because when you say it's PS4 games, third party, it's PSVR games, and it's minor updates on some of the PS5 games we showed last month or 2 months back, actually.
Right.
But people were expecting like God of War to be shown or Spider-Man 2.
No, they're idiots.
And I was just, why?
You know what it is? They're idiots. And it comes from upbringing, so their parents are probably idiots.
Right.
All
right.
So let's talk about what was shown. They kicked us off with Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, Toys for Bob. That looks great for people who love Crash. I could care.
I grew up on Crash Bandicoot. That was like...
They weren't good then. They're not good now. I don't give a shit about those games.
Whoa.
Those games are booty.
Any of them? Crash 1 through 3?
That fake like 3D platformer bullshit.
Fake 3D.
Like,
what are you talking about?
Everything else, every other 3D platformer did it better. Every one of them. And this one was so derivative of every platformer that came before it. It's kind of scary. The gravity boots, this changing dimensions, which is Guacamelee 100%.
No, Steven, I'm going to destroy your entire argument right now.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Two words. You ready for this?
Two words. Yeah, go ahead.
Playable dingo dial. That's it. You're done. You're fucking done.
You got a point.
You know?
So they announced an inverted mode, which basically is just like different filters on the levels, and like the levels kind of change a little bit when you're doing that. All kidding aside, it looks great for Crash Bandicoot fans. I am not passionate about Crash Bandicoot. And I just don't care. That's a full pass for me. I'm not going to be playing that. A game I'm also not going to be playing was shown after this, and that was Hitman 3, which they showed in VR. So you could strangle people in your living room, and children are going to... The parents are going to be writing about this.
Let them. I hope that they do.
I walked in on my son strangling somebody in the middle of our
living
room.
Like a prostitute in an alleyway. It was horrible.
Oh, my word.
Think of the children.
How dare you?
Well, this is, it's VR, so you're out the gate, obviously.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
You can't do it. You can't do VR. But this next announcement was interesting. Braid Anniversary Edition.
A lot of people were upset about that.
Where did you come from?
They redrew every single pixel.
Why?
I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Sure.
But you could just play Braid if you want it. Braid 2, and then no, it wasn't Braid 2.
Really, Jonathan Blow? Is this what we're doing now? Yeah, the Braid. It's him, right? Braid, then the Witness.
Yeah,
great game. And then we're going back to just resting your laurels there, guy. Okay.
And of course, the brain damaged people think immediately that this means that Braid 2 is coming at soon.
Yeah. Just of course. Just It also means we're getting Hitman 4 exclusively for VR and PS5, in case you're wondering.
Exactly. Here's one that actually peaked, at first didn't pique my interest, and then towards the end got me interested, and that was The Pathless.
Mm.
So the game looks not fantastic, like graphically. It's a PS5 game. It was running on PS5. It had an interesting art style. It kind of looked like Breath of the Wild. And the whole mechanic is that you're running and you're running and you're running and you're shooting these little runes, and then you're going faster as you're shooting them. It looked like one of those endless runners, like Temple Run. That's what it looked like to me, just with a shooting, an archery mechanic. But then, and it's completely open world. You're like solving puzzles using your bow, and this like eagle that you can glide with, basically like a Breath of the Wild glider. But then they showed boss battles.
Mm.
Where you're fighting these giant creatures, kind of like they're on a smaller scale than Colossus, but I got a lot of Shadow of the Colossus vibes, where you're kind of like solving a puzzle as you're fighting these things. I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I got a lot of like Zelda vibes from this game. Right. At the first, I was like, the Eagle Island, they're doing a 3D game. What happened? No one told me anything. But then I was like, oh, this is actually pretty neat looking. I love the art style. Look pretty slick. It's like a higher budget indie game. It looks, I mean, not a double A exactly, but just it's got some money in its pocket for sure for development.
It looked like a tech demo to me.
Right.
It looked like, what can we do with no load times?
Right. That is very,
you know,
much
just because you're moving really quick and the level's just loading at, you know, as it's going. Like I feel like that was what the purpose was. They, you know, Sony was like, hey, here's what you can do, and they were like, okay, we'll do that. And that, and they made a whole game based on it. Like, I feel like that's what it was.
Yeah, I liked it. Again, it just speaks to like the diverse library of indie games that go to Sony platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like this next one.
Indeed. Spelunky 2!
Spelunky 2, baby! It looked good. Online multiplayer. I'm into it.
Spelunky is a gem of a game that not enough people played.
Because it's fucking hard as shit and it will destroy your life. That's
it's
why
so good, though.
It's unforgiving as shit.
So we got online multiplayer. There was another feature that they had in there.
It was branching paths. You can choose from
right branching paths. Too. Yeah, which is just gonna make me angry.
Right, because the game's also out on the 15th of September.
Yep, that's 15th.
Corner.
Look
and
out,
this is
Avengers.
A PS4 launch exclusive. Coming to Steam later down the line.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Here's a bit of controversy.
Oh,
Aeon Must Die, a game by Limestone Games and Focus Home Interactive. It's a 2D action game. It was confusing whether or not it was a brawler or a fighting game or like a mix of like RPG and fighting, because it looked like the boss battles were like almost like a fighting game. They're like really close together.
I got like Valkyrie Profile vibes from the gameplay.
Okay, yeah.
That kind of format. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't put my finger on what it felt like to me. But there were definitely, it looked interesting. Now, I'm going to bounce out of this.
Oh, you have
get
to.
I'm going to bounce out of this, and I'm going to go into one of my news stories that I picked here.
Because there's a scandalous.
Scandal.
Scandalara.
Gasp. So, former developers.
Here we go.
Of this game.
Here it is.
Say that the game.
Let's hear it.
Was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So a group of developers went public, and this was written on the 8th, on Thursday. So when was that? That was the 6th as well?
Yes.
Well, this was updated, so I don't know when it was updated.
It was
but
the same day we heard
on the 7th it was updated. Yeah. All right, so a group of developers went public with serious accusations of overwork and theft against their former employer. The Estonian studio Limestone Games. The claims surfaced shortly after the trailer for Aeon Must Die. The game they say was stolen from them was shown on the State of Play broadcast. In total, 8 members of the Aeon Must Die creative team resigned from Limestone Games in June, according to a cache of testimonials published by the former employees earlier today. The ex-employees attribute the decision to what they describe as poor working conditions at the studio and the behaviors of its chief executive. Limestone Games has not publicly responded to the allegations. Quote, the trailer was created with abuse, manipulation, and theft. That's the deep. Description of the third-party YouTube upload of the Anne Must Die video reads before linking to the aforementioned Dropbox repository. Quote, people who have worked on every shot of this are no longer with the company holding IP rights. Some were not even paid for their work. The real IP for the game was stolen from the creators via foul play.
Mm.
So obviously this is like a translation thing. Like, or English is not their first language, I don't think. So it's kind of weird. The names of the and other assorted details have been redacted from the Dropbox documents because of ongoing legal situation. The complaints are led by accounts from former CCO Alexei Nehoroshkin and co-founder who co-founded Limestone Games in 2016. According to his statements, he receives little support from the current CEO in hiring additional developers to work on Anne Must Die, leading to severe workload issues that he says often resulted in long stretches of crunch. Nehoroshkin goes on to accuse Lysenko of working with a major investor to become the studio's sole board member and assume total ownership of Limestone Limestone's intellectual property while Nihoroshkin's was focused on development.
That's a power move right there.
So there was an update where the publisher, Focus Home Interactive, was looking into the allegations, so Limestone may just lose their publisher at this point.
They washed their hands of the whole thing. They were like, we had no idea this was going on. Don't blame us. It's all on Limestone, baby.
Apparently, what's the word I'm looking for? Freelancers were brought in to use the assets that were created to make that trailer. So it wasn't even the people who made the game that made the trailer.
See, now I understand that, you know, we can talk about crunch till the cows come home. What I'm focusing in on is harassment, abuse, corruption, and manipulation,
and theft.
And theft.
Theft of IP is an interesting word.
This
there.
Is deep. This also screams like future guest on the show. If his English is kind of okay, we'll find out. But it reminds me of one of our former guests when we talked about Fel Seal, how he worked on a game and didn't get paid after it was released.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, shit. Pay your employees, dude.
Way to like just take out any hype or buzz for a game the second it was released. Because this game looked good. I like the art style.
It looked cool. Yeah,
combat seemed really interesting.
Now I don't even trust that it's a game at this point.
Right. It's just fucking.
There's nobody making it anymore.
It's just how do you not know? How is Focus Home and then Sony not know what's going on? Like it's, I can't explain that.
Let's get back to the
oversight in that. Yes.
Here's my guess is it's a studio that was kind of out of sight, out of mind for the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, do you have this? You hit your milestones. You hit every milestone. Great. We're going to submit this. Sony was like, cool. This is great. And that was it. They didn't know. I honestly don't think they even know what was going on over there. Probably because they couldn't be told because of the online legal stuff.
Right.
So unless they were named in the lawsuit, like Focus Home was named in the lawsuit, they probably didn't even know this thing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who knows how, you know, the law works over there and was it Mesopotamia, wherever the hell the fucking shit was from. But it is what it is.
That sounds made up. It's not a real place.
Next game. The next game that was shown in the showcase was Anno Mutationum. Mutationum? I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about this game. This one I don't even remember seeing. If I'm being
completely honest, I think I was getting my CAT scan during this part of the presentation.
I don't remember where I was during this. But according to GameSpot, it's an adventure game featuring 2D and 3D segments and a unique mix of pixel and 3D art. Wait, no, I can't picture this one in my head. I don't know why. I should look this one up beforehand. But the next game, we got a little bit more information on Bugsnax. Ooh.
I told you that day that this will be this generation's Parappa the Rapper. I feel it in my bones.
In your bones.
In my bones. It's in my bones. So we saw some of this game with the first person viewpoint, and it looked adorable. I'm not going to lie. I want this game now.
Okay, now I know what Anno Mutatum Mutatum is. It was that one with the chick that was just running and like that. It looked like not exciting for that. Okay, sure. Bugsnax. Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Dude. Bugsnax is gonna be, and honestly, now that we know what the game is, like you're trying to rebuild. What is it, Snacktopia? Whatever the hell it's called.
Huh.
you're rebuilding the island, so it's got like a Dark Cloud vibe. Where you're like, you're hunting these bug snacks because you're trying to feed the people. Hmm. The more you feed the people, the more the town, you know, people move back to the town, yada, yada. So it's like, I don't know. And you're doing various things like you know, whether you're taking pictures of them, you're hunting them, you're fishing them, you're whatever.
I like the whole, like you get to feed the favorite foods to the bug snacks and then you have to trap mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
I like it. It's deeper than I thought it would be from what it was first shown. And I need it.
ASAP is possible. Star Wars Vader Immortal. This was a PSVR game that was previously on Oculus.
Yes.
So, and this one, you know, it's your lightsaber game. So, for you huge fucking nerds that have a VR headset, a PSVR headset,
and a big and old
not an Oculus because you don't have a gajillion dollars, and if you're a big old Star Wars nerd, this looks awesome. I'm not gonna lie. However, I would be okay with playing this like Skyrim, like in non-VR.
Sure.
This looks like it's a cool first-person Star Wars lightsaber game. Mm. I'd be down to play that in not VR.
Well, I'm sure that's when you saw Iron Man, that's what you felt like as well. Like, shit, could this just be a non-VR game? Because it looks cool. I want to play it. But I'd vomit when I play VR.
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. Now, it'd be interesting to play. How interesting would it be to play one of these games where the person not in the VR headset has the controllers and the person in VR is just controlling where you're looking, where you're aiming, like Voltron of sorts.
You know, how could you not do an online thing with this? Like someone plays as Darth Vader and you play as like a Jedi Knight.
And you're just whacking away at each other?
Huh?
They should make a Dead by Daylight or Friday the 13th in VR.
Oh, dear God.
Imagine. That'd be awesome.
DBD in VR would scare the shit out of me, I feel.
Control.
Control. Oh, my God. Alan Wake, baby.
Little DLC called Awe.
Just give me the sequel already. Just give it to me. I'm watching a lot of Twin Peaks on Netflix this past couple of days. Mm-hmm. And it gets you in that Alan Wake state of mind so much and seeing him in this DLC. So
I sure am angry with Control right now.
I want to ask you a question. I got a really weird take on weird take. I was like, I think your brain is damaged. We were discussing the best new IPs of the generation. And I mentioned Control.
Yep.
And my friend was like, it's not a new IP. It's Alan Wake. I was like, is your brain like leaking out of your ears? That is a new IP. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, but it's Alan Wake, same universe. I was like, no, that's a new IP. It's not Alan Wake.
Right.
It's not even a spinoff of Alan Wake. It's its own thing that happens to have Alan Wake in it in some capacity.
Interesting.
It's a shared universe. Huh? It's a new IP. I was like, nah, I think you gotta get your head checked. That is not a
huh. But well, yes. this is an interesting conversation. Where
do we draw the line? Well, would you?
What other games have done this that we can
think of? Like the Shadow of the Colossus, Ico, and Last Guardian. They're all sort of set in that same world.
Sure. But
they're all each their own different IPs. Like I wouldn't call Shadow Ico 2, or it's
would
not,
you call
it's not the Ico IP?
Would you call Mario Kart its own IP? Or is Mario the IP?
Well, that's a thing, yeah. Well, in this case, Control has its own female lead character.
I think it's both. Control is its own IP,
right.
And the universe is its own IP, the Alan Wake universe, or whatever they're calling it.
Sure.
Whatever.
Right. So Mario
that game Kart pissed me off. So I'm boycotting it.
Are you done playing it? Can I get it back now to put the DLC?
I'm not done. I want to beat it.
How far are you?
I don't know.
Did you get the heavy metal part yet? I'm guessing that.
What?
Heavy metal part.
I have gotten to a part where I am going really down, further down, Okay. And there's like hell demons everywhere.
Those demon spores and
yeah, there's demon spores and stuff. Yeah.
Demon spore will get you. Those fungus.
It was fine. The problem was when I died, it made me go all the way back to where I was.
Yes,
you did. And that's stupid.
Why?
And I'm mad at it.
You've been playing games your entire life.
Give me a fucking checkpoint.
It does.
Give me a checkpoint at the time.
20 minutes back.
No.
Yeah.
My time is precious. Out of here. Done. I eject.
Lower the difficulty back on the shelf.
I may or may not be already playing on easy. So the pedestrian.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. That's the one where you're the stick figure and you're drawing and you're moving the puzzle around.
Dude,
and all that,
I was
so
just
fine.
Like, this is just quirky PS1 era stuff. Like, yeah, cool. I like it. I'm into it.
I got a huge boner with Hood, Outlaws, and Legends.
Did you come out of your hood?
My hood. I don't have a hood.
You don't have a hood.
I don't have a hood. My hood hath been removed. My hood hath been removed.
You're hoodless.
I'm hoodless. I am the hoodless horseman. So this was shown. This is coming to everything, but it was shown on your PS5.
Yes.
This is supposedly coming to Xbox. It's coming to everything else. But this game looks dope. Mm-hmm. You're playing as Robin Hood and his merry men, and you're infiltrating and trying to steal things. It's unclear if it's a multiplayer where other people play the bad guys, or if it's all just cooperative multiplayer. I wasn't quite sure on that. But there are wraiths. You can set up. You have to bypass defenses. It's kind of, I don't know. It just looks really dope. And Robin Hood looks really fucking cool. And Little John is in there as well.
And you can live out all your socialist fantasies while playing this game.
Exactly. Steal from the rich who steal from the poor to give back to the poor so the rich can steal again.
Exactly. It's all cyclical. Yeah.
It's cyclical. Then we got a game that people...
Dude, the chat in this?
It was so funny. So Temtem is coming to PlayStation 5. And people were like, what is this Pokemon ripoff?
They're trying to bite off Nintendo?
Sony's ripping off Pokemon?
First they ripped off of Smash, and they're ripping off Pokemon.
This game was kickstarted, is out already on like 5 different platforms. Mm-hmm. This was just their next-gen announcement.
Right.
It is going to be a PS5 game.
Yes, it is.
It's doing pretty well on mm-hmm. PC. Through Steam. It's a really nice polished game.
Mm-hmm.
And it, everything that people complain about with Pokemon not being an MMO, not the online being shit, the breeding, the everything that you could think
all the
a Nintendo player
stuff you want on a Pokemon is in this game, basically.
Not just the quality of life stuff though, but like the hardcore stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of post game like meta big brain shit going on
like
in Temtem.
If you like your algebra and your math in Pokemon, well, you'll love it here.
Yeah. And then we close things out with Godfall gameplay, and which really excited me about this game.
A very decent slice. It was like 8 minutes or something like that.
It was 2 of 4 of the playable classes, the available playable classes at launch.
Mm-hmm.
They showed the long sword and they showed the double sword, the daggers or whatever they're calling them. I forget what they're calling them.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really cool. I mean, it looks like this to me looks like what a Diablo should strive to be eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just a super polished, beautiful world, frenetic combat. It just looked like, it kind of reminded me of the combat of Dragon Age Inquisition, but better, but way more polished. It looked,
yeah,
but it definitely,
yeah.
It definitely excited me for the game. Like I wasn't sold on the game to begin with in the beginning. I wanted to see more of it, and they showed me that.
Initially, it screamed like it'll be just a microtransaction to death. It's just sort of like a generic slasher, essentially, looter. But they really came through. This actually looks like a pretty competent looking game. You could take a lot of time into and have a good time while playing it.
Yeah, I just, you know, being able to just get on there, play with friends, mm-hmm. you know, grind some loot, but not, like, again, I just don't want to be caught in a trap where if I miss a day and I don't
you know,
get...
You and the FOMO. Loot. FOMO with you is strong.
It just
you,
sucks. You feel that, like, that game design sucks.
Your friends would be like, oh, you beat the game twice already. Where were you? It's like, I took a nap. That's what you feel is going to happen.
Indeed. Indeed.
So I would say, all in all, this was exactly what we thought it was going to be.
It got a solid C plus for me because Hood and Godfall excited me. Bugsnax, I love that we know what the gameplay is there now. Pathless at least kind of put it on my radar, and everything else I didn't care about. So
I give it a B. It's nice knowing that there's still PS4 support coming at the end of its console life cycle with some pretty good looking games.
Sure.
PSVR, you know, I have it. I don't play it often. Maybe I should. That, you know, I'll play that Vader game or the Hitman, maybe. But
maybe,
you know, at this point, I feel like all of us are just eager for next generation to come, and it's hard to give this stuff its proper due and, you know, attention, because, you know, we're kind of, I think we've all like moved past this. It's also after Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost. It's like, all right, PS4, I get it. You know, what can really make you excited about PS4 games now?
This seemed like a thing they had to do to get it out of the way.
Right. And you know what? If it's fluff that's not going to be in future shows, I'm all for it.
Exactly, yeah. I think from now on, we're going to get very specific deep dives into what's coming in launch window for PS5. I think that's going to be their focus going forward. That's what their focus needs to be going forward.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens there. All right, Andy. Take us into this Xbox story.
Oh, yes. So apparently there was the Microsoft branding going into this year and all things Xbox Series X or their next generation of consoles and their services was in this Xbox 2020 branding. It was first announced back in May. And after using it one time, it was quietly canceled. Went away forever. I'm not really sure why. An update was made to a May somethingth post on their main page explaining the decision and how they felt that this would be the only venue or branding to announce certain things, and they didn't want to go that route. So they kind of just stopped it. And the quote is, "It's implied we would be releasing information in one way only. But I feel like you used it one time. No one cared about it. So why are you mentioning it or updating it? Just keep doing what you're doing. Just announce your live streams, announce what they're going to be about, and we're fine. You need these weird banner titles for your announcements."
Yeah, I don't
understand.
None of this thing. I mean, none of this really matters to me. I mean, it just seems like the one thing that I could say, I guess, negative about this is it clearly somebody's fucked up with branding. Like, there was a decision being made somewhere, and then they were like, "Nah, this shit sucks." Now, could that be because of the pandemic? Maybe. Could it be a reactionary thing? Maybe. Could it just be?
You announced it during the pandemic, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but maybe they thought the pandemic would be over by now. You know, I don't know. It is what it is. Getting back into the chat, we want to talk about a couple of things from the previous story. Aaron Guard says, "Steve, I'm with you 1,000%. Games where missing day one or even beta makes playing the game less fun and more just running along behind your friends, waving as they pass you as you pass the world." While trying to keep up with them, suck.
Yeah.
So, essentially, yeah, it's.
I've been before. It's not pleasant at all.
It does. It's like an MMO. It's like, you know, when you're playing an MMO with friends and you miss a couple of days and they do a couple of raids and they get, you know, they beat a couple of bosses or whatever and they're level 32 and you're level 21. Like, what are you going to do? Nothing. You can't do anything. You can't play with them. They could power level you and you could just sit there, whatever. But I mean, that's. That's a game design that people do enjoy. People want to live in worlds every day. I want to play many games and want to be rewarded when I play any of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it. Okay. So here's a really... Actually, I want to end on this story, Andy. Can we talk about the Pikmin 3 yes. Deluxe announcement?
Let's get into it. Oh, dear God. So Nintendo has, again, not much going on this year, it seems.
Dipping into that Wii U well.
A few things, and Pikmin 3 Deluxe was officially announced for the Switch. It includes all the DLC, and the dog is... See, even my dog is pissed at this announcement.
He's so angry. He's angry about it.
You'll be getting the game, the full game, all the DLC, plus some brand new side story missions featuring Olimar and Louie at a full price of $59.99.
Yes, indeed.
Why?
I have a theory.
Why?
I have a theory.
What's your theory, Steven?
I think every Wii U game, every first-party Wii U game is already, and Wii, major Wii game, is already made for Switch. I think they're all done.
Just waiting in the can to be released.
Here's what I think. And obviously it's pejorative for me to say all of them, but I mean like the Metroid Prime trilogy, the Zelda collection of Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess. Mm-hmm. Like I think these, and Wind Waker. I think all of those games
Mario
are
3D Worlds, for example.
Right. I think those are all done. Mm-hmm. I think they're in the vault. And here's what I think is happening. I think internally, the games that they are working on that are Switch only, I think when something is getting delayed or something is not hitting its target, they break one of these out and release it instead.
Little sleight of hand, little distraction going on.
Just a little like, no, see, here's something new. Like, hey, I honestly think
we're doing stuff. We got games.
Yeah, I honestly believe that's a thing that they are doing. Like, I think I would not be shocked if Breath of the Wild 2 is pushed to holiday next year and we get Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword collection at Christmas. Least. Like, I would not be shocked.
You know what upsets me most about this, Steven, is in 2015, Miyamoto said that Pikmin 4 was almost done. Pikmin 4 in 2015. And we get this bullshit. Now, again, I understand it's nice for those who didn't play this game first time around on the Wii U. I get it. It's all the DLC plus more, just like Mario Kart 8. Great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Love it.
It's a deluxe edition, yeah.
But you couldn't package all three games in this and make it a little more appealing. Like $60
collection.
For just for three alone. The game is so old. Who's buying this?
I tell you who's buying it. Anybody that wants Pikmin 4, they're buying this.
Is that what it's going to take?
Yep, 100%.
If it's almost done, people will fucking buy Pikmin 4. Let's release Pikmin 4. This is very, very frustrating to me.
Here's the final story. Go ahead. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
It's just Nintendo has done not much this year, aside from Paper Mario, and now this, a few other things, but nothing of real note for the entire year. And if they can't get a Nintendo Direct E3 quality stream going, it makes you wonder what's happening with their actual game development behind the scenes. It really makes you wonder.
We'll see what happens, man. We'll see. They don't really disappoint when it comes to the holidays.
They really don't, but we're getting close. And if this is all we got, it's going to be a little strange to have no big Nintendo presence in this holiday season. Besides,
let's see what happens in October.
We'll see
what happens in October. All right, this is a really interesting story. Riot Games announced a partnership with Project Neom, which I'll get to in a second, that they were going to be sponsoring the League of Legends European Championship, the LEC. Hours after this announcement was made, they canceled the relationship, and here's why. Project Neom is a Saudi Arabia megacity. It's a public funding for a megacity. Get this, $500 billion, that's half a trillion, that's billion with a B, dollar project in which they are making a megacity in a northern territory of Saudi Arabia. Now, the Crown Prince is leading this charge, obviously. The thing that's controversial here is not only, well, everything about Saudi Arabia, like the blood money, the killing, the journalists, the terrible human rights record, like all of that stuff, that is like obvious problem for people doing business with Saudi Arabia. But the other thing is the region in which they're building the city, which they haven't broken ground on yet, has tribes living on it that they're literally just going in and forcing out. Like, just move. We're taking this land. We're making a megacity. Now, when I say megacity, it is something like 46 times the size of Manhattan.
Dude.
That's a huge fucking city.
Dude, that's like... That's some shit right there. I think so. That's some anime shit right there.
Yeah, it's that's like
fucking building Midgar.
Are you building a city to house the world? Like, what do you? First of all, who's living in this city? What is this city gonna have? Like, crazy. Anyway, so in a statement, the EMEA director of esports, Alberto Guerrero, said, as a company and a league, we know it, that it's important to recognize when we make mistakes and quickly work to correct them. After further reflection, while we remain steadfastly committed to all of our players and fans worldwide, including those living in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, the LEC has ended its partnership with NEOM effective immediately. In an effort to expand our esports ecosystem, we moved too quickly to cement this partnership and caused rifts in the very community we seek to grow. While we missed our own expectations in this instance, we are committed to re-examining our internal structures to ensure this doesn't happen again. Translation. We just got offered a shit ton of money. How much money? Like $60 million. Absolutely, let's do this this project. Absolutely.
We just saw dollar signs. We just saw dollar signs.
Oh no, there's so much murder happening. Genocide. The problem.
Oops.
No, not good. Not good.
Just double pass. I'll look the other way.
This was a problem. So I don't know if you know this, but the WWE does two pay-per-views in Saudi Arabia a year now, or two or three. I think it's two, and they got $1 billion. For 20 pay-per-views. No, it's 24 pay-per-views. So they go to Saudi Arabia. They perform in front of 80,000 people.
Pay-per-view? Holy shit. $1 billion.
With a B. Yeah, I think it was $1 billion. I'm pretty sure it was $1 billion. Actually, that might have been the Fox deal, actually. Hold on. I don't want to misspeak. But I think it was $100 million a pay-per-view. I think that's what they paid for. I think. Wrong, let me look it up.
Wrong line of work, dude.
I'll look. Yeah. All right, here, I'm going to look it up, the Saudi Arabia deal. I don't want to misspeak. Okay. WWE in Saudi Arabia. Okay. Where is it? I don't see the dollar sign. But anyway, they got a lot of backlash for doing this. And the other thing that they got backlash was that none of the women were allowed to do the show. They weren't even allowed to travel there. But the most recent one, women participated in. So obviously that's a way of the Saudi Arabian government being like, see, we're friendly to women,
we're progressive, we don't beat them, they have rights. They can drive sometimes on alternate Thursday. Yeah,
they could do things. Yeah. We promise. So yeah, this was a truly boy.
You know what I wish, dude? I wish that people were more like this when it came to China and getting their hands in game development and in the game industry. I feel like China is so influential, like, and there's just so money heavy. People are just like, you're taking people's organs and you have internment camps and slave labor. It's okay. We're cool with that. We'll turn a blind eye. But Saudi Arabia, you're evil Saudi Arabia. We can't stand for this. Just can't do it.
It's Saudi Arabia has a lot of money to spend.
A lot of money. Compared to China, though, I don't think it's in the same league.
I don't know. I don't know about that. They got that oil money. So the deal is not public. If you look at their earnings before the Saudi Arabia deal and after the Saudi Arabia deal, it looks like they're making somewhere between $20 and $25 million a pay per view to do it there. So you're looking at like $50 million a year.
Holy hell.
So you're looking at least a half a billion dollars probably in that deal. But yeah, I think everyone should, if all of these organizations just kind of got together and said, this is the blacklist, because of human rights. Like, sure, if you're a shitty country with shitty rules, go ahead, deal with other shitty countries. Go ahead,
yeah, yeah, want. By all means.
But like, yeah, I just, yeah, you got to be smarter about this kind of thing. Like, I get it. Like, what would we do on, like, just being honest, like, just open floor.
Sure.
If some Saudi or China or Saudi Arabia, whatever, offered us like $1 million each to, I don't know, do a show on their games only, like games coming out of their countries. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I see the allure. I definitely see it.
You and I could do a lot of money, a lot with $1 million.
That's how it does. I could do a lot of good with that money.
We could hire people. We could have an office, a staff. You know what I mean? Sure. Like,
make this into get it. Yeah. I understand why the almighty dollar speaks to so many people.
But that's because we're poor.
Right.
If I'm already a $1 million company, right. If I'm already Riot Games. So
what we should be saying saying to our government, we should all be millionaires to prevent us from committing these horrible, unspeakable acts and aligning with those who have gross human rights violations. Let's ensure our own wealth.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. All right, folks. That is going to do it for the Dual Screens Report. And now it's time to get... Oh, man. Let's go into the hype zone. Andy, take us into the hype zone. Steven,
there's a game coming out called Bucksnacks. And I'll talk about Bucksnacks. Now, there was a time when I felt that this game could be the game of not the year, not the generation, but of our lifetime.
Our lifetime, yep.
The theme song, the aesthetic, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The design.
The bugs and the snacks.
Yes, it all speaks greatness.
Yep.
Strawberries with eyeballs on them. It all looks so great. But a recent interview with the Young Horses over at PushSquare.com revealed a feature which has now been dropped from the final version of Bugsnax.
A dropped feature, you say?
Yes. And this is a game changer. So much that I think that this game is no longer my game of the year, generation, or lifetime.
Okay.
The question posed to Young Horses was as follows. What is one thing we don't know about Bugsnax that you would like to share? And they answered, there was a time when Bugsnax screamed in delight when they were eaten. That was too much. The Bugsnax you will catch now no longer scream audibly. And to this I say, boo on you, sir. Boo on you. 6 out of 10. Not enough screaming hard. This would have pushed it over the edge, dude. Why is this not there? No, I want this. Why'd you mention it?
Just
patch it back in and all be forgiven.
That's it.
That's the hype zone.
That's the hype zone. Folks, we are going to open the floor to our chat. This is the mailbag section. Please, please, indeed, hit up the mailbag. Tell us ask us questions.
I do want to address Erin Gard 2112. Yes, Animal Crossing did come out this year, but that's all that came out this year from Nintendo. And again, of course, Paper Mario.
We got some DLCs and whatnot. DLC. Paper Mario, listen, don't sleep on Paper Mario. Did that crack the top 10?
I don't think so. It's all about Animal Crossing. That's all they have got going for them for the whole year. Like, and we knew about the game for a while. Like, it was coming. Like, that was like the first big game of the year, but it was their only big game of the year, it seemed. From Nintendo.
Yeah, we didn't know that it was.
You thought it was like, all right, it's a good kickoff for 2020.
They're just holding a lot close to the chest. All right, while we're waiting for the chat, if they want to ask us any questions, let's just let you know where you could find us. If you want to find us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27 and Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. Again, if you want to follow us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. We do this, and we also play Dungeons and Dragons once or twice a month. Dual Screens and Dragons is that show. It's just us playing D&D. So if you want to come hang out and watch us play D&D, please feel free. And follow us on, give us a sub over there on YouTube, youtube.com/dualscreenstv. That's youtube.com/dualscreenstv. We want to give you a special thanks to Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logo. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for our cartoon art that we use on Dual Screens podcast. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com. And again, if you want to support us on Patreon, that's patreon.com/ndspodcast. That's patreon.com/ndspodcast. And if you want to buy our merch, it's dualscreens.com/store. All right, so let's check the chat, see if we got anything. All right, Buzz Killington is submitting a news story. Ugh, God, come on.
Is it about
Nobody
Xbox?
Cares about this.
Is it about Xbox?
Of course it's about. Microsoft is opening xCloud game streaming beta early tomorrow. So, but only if you're Ultimate subscribers. Mm. If you're Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers, you are going to get early access. Microsoft is allowing Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers to try its new game streaming feature, xCloud, early tomorrow, August 11th. The software giant will launch a new version of Xbox Game Pass beta app for Android, which includes the game streaming.
Hooray.
Which, of course, we didn't talk about, but I don't know why this didn't make the news.
The Facebook thing? I mean, the Apple
no,
thing?
No, the Apple thing.
Yes.
Let's just touch on that really quickly because we are going long. Apple saying nay. They don't want to open this up. They don't want to play nice. And to which I say, that's what you get, Apple users. Mm-hmm. That's what you get when you get into an ecosystem that is controlling, manipulative, and all that fun stuff. Everything they do is proprietary.
Now, would you call this anti-consumer?
Yes, 100%. Because this doesn't protect their consumers in any way, shape, or form.
It doesn't.
This is taking something away from their consumers.
It's we don't want this to be successful on our platform, so get out of here with it, essentially.
Right. They don't do anything comparatively. Apple Arcade does not put AAA massive budget $60 games off.
Dude, who's playing games in Apple Arcade? Seriously.
Honestly,
I'm sure some do.
I'm sure they have a nice little thing, but it's not AAA. You're not playing those.
Apple Arcade.
And you don't sell, you know, your games are $10. Those are the games that are becoming free on their platform.
And you're not a gaming company. Games. You're not pushing gaming services or new experiences in gaming.
What this is going to do is it's going to push Android sales because Samsung just announced all their new lineup for the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It's going to push people to that. I already know people that immediately shut off their Apple phone. Switched carriers immediately, or hardware, whatever it is, SIM cards. I don't know how fucking technology works. And this is going to push people to jailbreak their phones. That's what's going to happen.
They've been doing it for years, so
I know. But this is just going to make it like more people are going to be like, "All right, fuck it." Well, then I don't care. Done. Jailbreak. Get whatever app you want.
It's a real shame because you know. They're trying to have. I mean, this is all part of Microsoft's messaging, like play anywhere. It's hard seeing someone just be like, shut the door. Nope, you can't come in. We're sorry about that. Like, I understand Nintendo, Sony, their competitors. You don't really want to target those systems for these platforms. But if you're pushing streaming, and you have one of your main competitors in Android saying, "Yeah, come on in, man. We'll do it here," and Apple's like, "Nope." It's just a bad look, optics-wise. And you're going to get backlash. And they deserve it, too, in all honesty.
Yeah, they're also suing some company that uses a pair as their thing. So, you know, they're just mental.
Really, it really shows you where their standards are and what their priorities are.
Stupid
you're
people.
You're Apple, and you're suing over a pair logo. Ugh, that's just disgusting.
Anyway, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Again, we record this live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstream. So please head over there. Give us a follow. Come hang out next time. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Well, we got some folks in the chat right now. We got Batwife and we got JC Invader coming the last second in the chat. What's up, everybody?
Just saying hello.
So it was a great show. Very robust content.
We did, we did it. We have a good show here. Yeah.
And again, I am super excited for our next guest on the podcast. Dude, this is it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're on the road mm-hmm. to stardom with this guest. We're breaking the AAA, baby. So stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned. All right, folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody out there. And as always, please be excellent to each other.